thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I'm just going to read from Psalm 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For all evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn their sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their swords shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil day, and in the time of famine they shall be satisfied. Now you might wonder why I read from Psalm 37. Well, I'm reading through the Psalms at the minute, and it tends to be where I get my substance and my text when I preach and when I speak. And if you are embalming at Elam on Tuesday night at the Bible study, you'll find them in Psalm 42, which is quite appropriate for those who are wonders, because one night at Wonders this week, we sang that old chorus. I haven't heard it in years. As the deer pants for the waters. It was so good to hear that again. But a little bit about me. Paul said I'm from Collibaggy, and yes, that's where I grew up. I wasn't born in Collibaggy. I was born in Ballymena, in the hospital, oddly enough. That's what tended to happen in those days. Very few home births then, unless they were unplanned. Grew up in Collibaggy, and I'll go into that a little bit in a moment or two. But the title for tonight is Troubles, Temptations, and Transformation. I had an uncle who was a Presbyterian minister, and he says, I notice that you have got a good habit. He says, you tend to preach with alliteration, and you tend to have 3 points. And I said, well, the only thing is, I'm not a Presbyterian. And he says, well, that's where it all went wrong. There you go. That was his view. He's now deceased. Troubles, temptations, and transformation. Now, within each of these points, I will have a number of other points, and guess what? They all begin with the same letter as well. So, under the title of Troubles, I'm going to reference disease, division, and death. And I'll come on to temptations shortly, but let me give you a little bit of background. Sometimes whenever I'm asked to give my testimony, I cause great shock in the room. You'll hear people give their testimony and they'll say, I was saved whenever I was 14, I was 8, I was 54, whatever age it was when you became a Christian. So I start off by creating absolute theological heresy in the room by saying the words, I was saved. Now, don't shoot me before I get to explain this. I was saved 4 years before I was born. Now, you're going to think, what is this predestination lark you're on about? Saved 4 years before you were born. But here is the truth. 1963, 4 years before I was born. You're now working out my age. I'll help you. 56. In 1963, my mother took a brain tumor that was incurable and was expected to die. However, the neurology department and the Royal decided that they would try and do their best to see if they could remove part of the tumour. My uncle, the Presbyterian minister, was then in training. He knew a Presbyterian who in those days, it was quite a rare thing, a Presbyterian who prayed for the sick. And he found this gentleman and brought him to the Royal Victoria Hospital. And you guessed that the tumour disappeared. The tumour disappeared. They operated the next day still because they didn't believe. X-rays weren't then what they are now. No tumour was found. It's gone. Now that you're going to say, well, what's that got to you? Have you been saved? Well, the reality was if my mother had died, I wouldn't have been here. Also, my mother was barren and couldn't have children. Well, guess what happened in the miracle of the tumour disappearing? She was able to have children. And so, in many ways, I've always known that God had a purpose and plan for my life, because if it hadn't been for that miracle in 63, I wouldn't have been born in 67. And so, just to put you all ease now, I'm going to say, I myself then became a Christian at the age of 4.5. Now, you've heard about these childhood conversions. Some people say, well, you don't have much of a testimony because you were saved young. No, I got a great testimony. I have a testimony of 52 years of God's saving and keeping power. But I was saved at the age of 4.5. My mother had been at a meeting. I was been dragged along. My father was Methodist. My mother was Presbyterian, but had strayed to the Pentecostal side of the house. You can see where I take my influences from. My mother's side. And at this meeting, it was a Christmas service. It was the 22nd of December, 1971. And the preacher, who is still alive and well today, had preached. I have no idea what he said, but I'm told by my mother that whenever I came home as a 4.5-year-old, I said to her, that man said, I need to know Jesus. And my mother led me to faith in Jesus at 4.5. So the first part of my testimony is, normally I was saved before I was born, but that's just to shock you. I'm not a heretic. I'm just saying that, thankful to God for that. So disease was something that was affecting my family. That's the thing about trouble, was affecting my family right from the early days. My mother had a brain tumor before I was born, but thankfully was healed. Disease also came in then in 73. My father, who was not a Christian, took a heart attack. I was 6 years of age. I remember him taking off his wedding ring in the hospital and reaching him and putting it on my finger as a child and saying, I won't need this anymore. I'm not going to be here. He thought he was dying. But before my father went to hospital and before he had the heart attack, he had been working in Hillmount. Anybody remember Hillmount Factory in Collibaggy? A few of the older timers. I have to be careful what I say now. But my father worked in the bleach in Hillmount. And there had been a man in Hillmount and doing some electrical work, a contractor, an electrician. And he had been witnessing to my father. And as a result of that witness, when my father was in the hospital and had the heart attack, he gave his life to Jesus. The electrician, you guys who are Eagle guys know him as Pastor Roy Kerr. He was the guy who witnessed to my father. And so you can start to see the link to Eagle emerge. Growing up in Collibaggy, my best friend, some of you know my best friend was Alistair Dunlop from Collibaggy, Eagle. We were born on the same day. Alistair and Yvonne are now out on missions in Turkey. But he was the one who started to get me to go to Collibaggy. So I grew up, my childhood days were Collibaggy Methodist in the morning, Collibaggy at night, Collibaggy for Sunshine Corner on a Tuesday night. I have a cup, a trophy should I say, in my attic. For 5 years full attendance from 1971 to 76. So God was at work, but life was still difficult. I had a mother who then, sadly this part of my mother's story didn't tell, was that when they couldn't find a tumour in her brain, they decided to do a number of lumbar taps on her spine. And what we later know was that they touched the nerve in her spine and she developed a progressive disability. Ended up eventually in a walking stick, eventually in a simmer frame, eventually in a wheelchair, and sadly died in 1994 with fluid in the lung due to immobility. So health was a big issue. Sickness was a big issue. Disease was a big issue in my family. But I want to touch on disease also because we want to give God glory in all of this. My father got saved after having a heart attack. He went on to be a leader in his church. Yes, he died when I was only 18, but he died and he went to heaven. He knew where he was going. Disease had came, but so had new life in Jesus. And for me also, disease came along later in life, but I want to touch a little bit on division, first of all, within this part of the trouble part of the testimony. Those who are my age or older grew up or lived through the troubles. Division was a very real thing. I spent a lot of nights in Ballymoney, marching around the town, bomb parades, protests, street protests, doing things that maybe wouldn't be regarded as necessarily glorifying to God, we'll put it that way. I was highly active in loyalism as a young man. I was saved. I was going to church, but there was a pull going in both directions. There was a division coming in my life. And I had to come to a point, well, God had to bring me to a point where, for me, it was God asked me a direct question one night at band parade. I heard the audible voice of God saying, and here was the question God asked me. This is a good question for God to ask you. Take a look around you, God said. How many of these people at this band parade? Now, it was one of those big parades. Shall we call them kick the Pope bands, or we're allowed to call it that? Lots of people with blue bags, the alcohol brigade. There was a lot of drunks about. And God said to me, take a wee look around you. And the question came, how many of these people will be breaking bread tomorrow morning? Now, I would be, because I was in Castle Street, Eagleman, Ballyminga, breaking bread. And I went, oh, Lord, there's not going to be that many. Actually, these guys will be breaking bread. And for me, God was saying he wanted me to set aside my life. I had to make a choice because I was getting involved in things that were on one extreme, we'll say, of loyalism. And God was putting a marker that he wanted, his mark in my life. And so division in the nation, division in our wee country, led to a division that had to come in my life where I had to set one thing down so I could pursue the other. And so division was part of that. My story goes on, I suppose, is just filling in some of the gaps. Teenage years, by the time we got to 15, there was a guy in church in Collybacky, he had a car. That meant we could go to the youth fellowship in Ballymoney on a Saturday night. And it was a bigger youth fellowship, much bigger, many more people about. Off we went to Ballymoney, and I ended up being in the Ballymoney church for many, many years. Became youth leader, and then went on to be an ordained minister in Eagham in 1991, ordained lay minister in 91. There was 24 of us all went through a three-year program with Eagham, 88 to 91. We were ordained in the Ulster Hall, November 1991, and then I completed 3 years of this sort of thing, speaking in Eagham churches around the country, doing what is probably now known as MIT, Paul, Ministers in Training. And then in 94, I was offered an Eagham church to go and pastor. And I shocked Eric McComb by saying, don't feel called to pastor a church. And neither I did. And so over many years, my role in churches has been as, in essence, a senior elder providing support to the pastor. But that has not meant that my ministry did not continue, and we'll come back to that. Health-wise for myself, got really ill. Summer of 87, I was working in what was known as Jimmy Hayes' petrol station in Collybacky. I was at university, working in Hayes' filling station. I was a fair bit of bodybuilding was being done on those days, believe it or not, with me, and we worked with colour gas tanks, and I was throwing these tanks about all day, every day. And I took a serious pain here, and I thought I'd pull the muscle. I lost a stone of weight in 3 days. Took them 6 months to diagnose what was wrong. I was on painkillers, medication. So February 87, I was told by the consultant, you need to sit down, bad news for you. I thought, oh, got cancer. And I was a wee Chinese man, and he says, well, Mr. Stewart, he says, yeah, you don't have cancer, but you're going to have to lose a kidney. And I just sat there and I laughed at him because I was sure I had cancer. So he says, you need to come into hospital now and we're going to remove a kidney. I says, no, sorry. I says, I've got university, I've got part finals in May. I'll see you in June. He says, you'll never survive. You will never survive. I says, watch it. Give me the painkillers. So I took painkillers, operation. Things, however, in the operation did go wrong. And we didn't know that until years later. It resulted in me being in hospital in 91, 95, and 98 with severe poisoning in my system and having to get a drain into my side. And eventually an abscess removed from my abdomen. 95, Roberta and I weren't married, but we were friends. And here's a Ballymena woman for you. Now, here is a complete Ballymena statement. I'm in critical care. Antrim Hospital had just opened. I'm in critical care in Antrim Hospital. Been given 24 hours critical because of poison in my system. Up in comes Roberta and she says, you see if you die, I'm going to kill you. But here's what I'm saying, folks. Through all this sickness and illness, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. He has stayed on course. Now, that deals a little bit with disease, division, death. That's the troubles part of the testimony. I want to quickly just touch on temptations. Now, in case any of you think you're going to hear me confess to some fall, big fall in sin, I'm not going to do that. There's no big story here. But I want to pick up on three temptations that I have faced in all of my years of walking with the Lord that I think all of you have faced. I think. And there are again three D's. Firstly, discontentment. Do you ever just get discontented? And you're just not happy. And maybe you are a Christian, but you're not happy in your Christian walk. Things aren't just the way you'd like them to be. Or maybe you're not happy in church. Maybe you're not happy with the pastor. But you get discontented. And discontentment festers in you. And for me over the years, that's one thing I've had to watch out for. Because if you get discontented, that's a temptation from the enemy. Because the enemy can work in discontentment. And can stir up a whole multitude of things in your heart. And so, you know, tonight I'm just saying, be aware of, temptation's not always the big news headline things like sexual sin, stealing money, whatever it might be. It can be more subtle than that. And just that wee temptation to be discontented. And I think in Northern Ireland we have to watch that because we could be all mourners and groaners a bit. Maybe not in Ballymoney. Ballymoney people don't moan and groan. But for me, there could be seasons of discontentment. And the enemy wants to work on that because discontentment can actually lead into a form of depression. And so we've got to be careful of those things that come along that could be temptations to us. The only thing for me along the years has been distractions. There are many things that could distract us away from doing what God wants us to do. Now, I'm just wondering, is there anybody in here tonight and you know that God has been speaking to you about taking a certain path, going a certain direction, but you're being distracted by other things. You're allowing them to distract you. But maybe for some of us, it's just as simple as this. We're distracted by our phones. We're distracted by our TV or Netflix, Roberta. We're actually being distracted away from God's word and God's truth. The enemy will use distractions to dilute what you can do for God. So that for me, the temptation was a temptation or being distracted at times over the years. I lead a ministry, Paul referenced the ministry, which is around encouraging, equipping, empowering Christians, whether be in business or in full-time ministry, but encouraging them, equipping them, and empowering them. And we do that around the world. But there are times that other things come along onto my agenda, as Roberta knows, that can make me busy. but not busy doing what God has called me to do. Unless we're busy doing what God has called us to do, we're actually distracted from God's purposes. And so tonight, maybe you are distracted. The other area where temptation that comes along is doubt. Has God spoken? What has God been saying to you? But the enemy will come along and feed doubt in your mind. And some of you here tonight, you doubt if you even hear the voice of God. God speaks through his word. God speaks through his Holy Spirit. But perhaps tonight you're doubting if you even hear the voice of God. Let me say, God speaks. Tune your ear to what he has to say. Do not allow doubt to rob you of the blessing of stepping out in faith from God. The final little section is around transformation, and this will tie into ministry, what I do now. Over the years, I have sat under many anointed preachers. One of the greatest influences in my youth was Pastor Billy McCandless. Some of you will remember Billy and know Billy. And in fact, I'm speaking in the church next Sunday through Billy's invitation. But I have sat under some great teachers, but transformation only truly comes when it's in your own heart. You can hear the word, but there has to come a point where your heart is transformed by the word. And so tonight, I wonder, am I speaking to people and you have heard the word of God for years? You've probably heard the word of God for as long as I have, or maybe longer. But have you truly had that transformation in your heart? I teach around the world and wrote a book on it a couple of years ago on four eyes. Now, this is me breaking away from Presbyterian three-point sermons. I have four eyes, and they are identity, inspiration, impact, and influence. And here's the thing. The first and most important thing you could know in this room is to know your identity in Christ. John Andrews in the Bible studies this week at Wonders spoke about not only knowing who Christ is, but knowing whose you are. And if you're in the room tonight and you are a born-again Christian, you belong to Christ. That's whose you are. When you get a true revelation of your identity, transformation happens. When I began to realize that for years I just saw myself as I used to be called Wee Tommy, because my father was Tommy as well. Nothing wee about me these days, but I used to be called Wee Tommy, and I used to call myself I'm just Wee Tommy from Ballymena. In fact, I remember being in America at a training course about 20 years ago, and all these great, grand people were introducing themselves in this breakout group. One was a bank manager, one was this, and one was worked for ESSO, North and South America. And I just went, hello, I'm Tommy, I'm from Ballymena. What else could I say? You know, but I used to put myself down. And maybe that's that you put yourself down. You only see yourself as Mary or Johnny from Ballymoney. But God says you're his son and daughter if you have accepted Jesus. He says that you are a joint heir with Christ. He says that you are a son and daughter, an ambassador of the King of Kings. When I began to get a revelation of my true identity, transformation began to happen. I began to lose my fear of people. I used to be extremely introvert, extremely shy. People don't believe it now. But how did I overcome that? By knowing who I am in God. Just to reference the other points, and then I'm going to wrap up. The inspiration, we all need to work in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you are going to speak for God tomorrow in your workplace, which I hope you are, if you're a worker, or wherever you go tomorrow, if you're going to speak up for God, you need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need to have impact for the kingdom of God. We do that by bringing Jesus to our communities, to our families, and to our workplaces. It's not always about preaching, but it's about living out the life of Jesus in your workplace. But also we need to have influence in this world. There is too much going on in the world today that is influence of a demonic nature from the enemy. Every voice is raising itself up above the parapet wanting attention. Whether it be the rights of this group or the rights of that group. What about the influence of the Christian believer rising up and the voice of the believer being heard? You might say, well, someone else needs to be heard. What about your voice being heard? What about you speaking up and having the courage? You see, as I travel around the world, blessed to, Roberta said that when she married me in 1997, she says, I'm marrying him on the basis I never see him. So that kind of more coming to pass in these more recent years, kind of away about 6, 7, 8 times a year somewhere. And as I travel to various countries, what my whole motive is, both here and there, is to encourage believers so they can be equipped and empowered to see kingdom transformation come to their world. I'll leave a wee leaflet at the door. Oh, two leaflets I'm going to leave at the door, by the way. One is this little booklet, which is my story, more detail on what you got tonight. I did my story as a six-parter on Facebook in February, and someone said, you should get them printed. So I did. So that's that there. The other thing that I'll leave at the door is a little card. I'm involved in so many different things, but the summary's on this little card here, which will be at the door as well. I simply call it Paracleo because it's the Ministry of Encouragement. Need to say no more about that. But I'm blessed to work with leaders in business and in ministry, offering advice and guidance. I have a team now, thankfully, who help do that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. As Roberta knows, my week is very varied. You know, today I'm here. Tuesday night I'll be speaking in Ballymena. Next week I'm in Portadown. But here I was be on Thursday. What was I doing on Thursday? Oh, it was wonders. But in the afternoon, I was teaching 30 female business leaders in Nairobi who are Christians who want to see God at work in the marketplace in Kenya. The power of Zoom allows us to do these things, folks. So we, Tommy from Ballymena, saved by the blood of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all I seek to do is be obedient to God's voice. So Father, tonight, we thank you for the opportunity to stand in your presence, to sing your praises, and to acknowledge you as God. We thank you, Lord, that in every season of life, you are walking beside us. You never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that for those tonight who don't know you as their Savior, you are reaching your hand out and saying, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. And Father, I pray that people will reach their hand out into the hand of Jesus tonight. Lord, for those who in the room who are going through a difficult season, whatever it may be, Father, may they know that you are truly their God. May you know that you are walking beside them. May you know a special touch from the Holy Spirit tonight. Father, be their strength, be their comfort. Supernaturally draw alongside them. And for those, Lord, who are journeying in doubt and not quite sure, Lord, I pray that you'll give them courage from heaven to step out in faith, believing God and trusting God for all things. Because in your name, Lord, we have the victory. We are overcomers. We are your sons and daughters, the beloved children of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that we are, Lord, your precious desire tonight. You look on us, Lord, and you say we are the apple of your eye. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul or Mark or whoever's coming.
I think I'm on here. Yeah. Thank you so much. We Tommy from Fire, we sure.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.